Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be ESPN Bet. Get $100 in free bets when you sign up for an ESPN Bet account, download the app, and have some fun, baby! That's right, rock and roll. Here's Shane Norling.
Good morning, boys, on a Tuesday, draft week Tuesday. What an exciting time to be alive. How are we feeling?
I'm good, man. Excited. I get to work with someone very close to me in my life every day. That would be Jonathan Hood.
I thought Bruce was
two men that I am a huge, huge fan of. That'd be you and Jay Moore. We're ready to rock and roll.
He said, I thought Bruce was here.
I thought Bruce Kaplan was here.
Well, so last night,
it's funny.
After the Sox got shut out for the eighth time, we were having a Passover Seder. It was me, Mindy, Bruce and his wife, Wendy, my sister-in-law, and my nephew, Ryan, and his girlfriend, Sarah. Just the six of us. Mm-hmm. And I said, Uncle Brew, why don't you do the recap? You're the Sox fan of the family.
That's right.
So he sat right down next to me, had his glass of bourbon in front of him.
Oh, God.
And he's like, let's go. Have at it, Doc.
I enjoyed seeing Bruce just pop up on the screen like, oh, there he is. And man, let me tell you something, Sox fans. You want a leader? Bruce Kaplan. Dr. Bruce Kaplan is your leader.
He lit into Jerry,
man. That guy was in the screen, just giving it to Jerry. Captain didn't have to be there. Dr. Bruce Kaplan right there for you. Let me tell you something. Where's the loyalty, kid? That's what he's asking.
He was not happy.
He was not happy.
And rightfully so. He speaks for all of us. You want a leader of Sox fans? Bruce Kaplan is the man.
There you go.
There's no question about that.
Take that.
Here's Shea Dorling.
All right. Albert Breer in the Monday Morning Quarterback said that teams have gotten the sense that the Bears will try to trade down and get more picks. Ryan Poles in the past has liked entering drafts with more picks than fewer. Has just four in this one. It was kind of weird because everything started off and it felt like after the Keenan Allen move, okay, we're going to trade down. And then everybody said, no, four picks is okay. Now as we close in on draft day, just 2 days away, the feeling that they're going to trade down seems to be getting more prevalent. Breer also said friends of Ryan Poles believe he will look to support Caleb Williams in the first round with whatever picks he does make. Mm. So, shot or no shot? The Bears will both trade down and draft an offensive player on Thursday night.
Oh, that's a shot. That is an absolute shot. Pace used to call them players he had in a cloud, like four or five guys. That if I get any one of them, I'm good.
Yes.
Poles has changed it to a color-coded thing. Mm-hmm. And I believe blue players are the top of the list where he wants to be. And he has four or five blue players, and I believe a handful of those are offensive players. I think Byron Murphy's on that list. I think Dallas Turner's on that list. But I also think he would like to get a receiver and an offensive line.
So the key to what you said, Shay, is toward the end of the statement, and that was trying to support Caleb Williams. That's what you just said, right? I'll try all I can to support the quarterback.
That's what Breer says he's hearing from friends of Ryan Poles.
Sounds offensive to me. Can you support the quarterback by getting a top defensive player?
I think so.
There's a little switch on the question, right? I would say that as a shot, though, to the answer to your question, because we've made the case for a wide receiver, and ultimately it's about the best. You're not trying to out-dumb or outsmart the room in this situation, Cap. I mean, it's pretty obvious that there's a need for a number of positions still. If you feel like the wide receiver is the best on your board, go right ahead, because you need one, but you also need help on the offensive line, and you do need help on the other side of Montez Sweat. The world's your oyster when you're the Chicago Bears.
Agreed. 100% for you.
New T-shirt. Agreed.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed and 100%.
Yes. It's correct and agreed.
I had some bourbon.
I enjoyed that. It's a new t-shirt.
What, Cap? Shot or no shot, Cap? 100% his bourbon.
That's a shot. That's a shot.
That is a shot.
I'm done. That'll be all. Good night, everybody.
That'll be all, folks.
David, it was just one drink. I'm stumbling up the stairs. There's no Cubs tonight. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bruce did the recap of the Sox, and I'm out of here.
Well, it was funny because my wife was cleaning up the dishes with me.
So long.
And I said, I'm so tired, I got to go to sleep. And she's like, I'm not even Jewish. This is your holiday. And she prepared all this food.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, all right, I'll help.
Good night. And by the way, you did that, you washed those dishes in the kitchen. That wasn't just a kitchen.
It's a Studio 41 kitchen. A fine partner here at ESPN 1000.
You're welcome. Here's Shay Norlick. Oh, Shay.
Well done. All right, I have an NBA awards question because Coby White was named a finalist for Most Improved Player of the Year. He averaged under 10 points a game last season. This year got to nearly 20 points a game. Some injuries got him some opportunity, and he certainly made the most of those opportunities. But it's interesting because before the odds came off the board, basically prohibitive favorite for the award was Tyrese Maxey, who was already a 20-point scorer in this league before averaging a career-high 25 this year. Shot or no shot, Coby White should be Most Improved Player.
That is a shot. From nowhere, with no expectations to this, that is the embodiment of Most Improved Player. A guy that was set aside. Lonzo's not coming back. Coby, you're going to have to start distributing the basketball and making shots, because we're gonna. Because Patton's here, he wants to shoot the ball more. The team has to shoot the ball more.
Yep.
Remember a year ago, Cap, this team was so bad from three, didn't take enough attempts.
Correct.
A lot of it was vacuumed by DeRozan in his mid-range jumpers or going to the basket. So the Bulls shot more threes this past season for them.
1,000% attempted more threes. Didn't make that many more threes. Yeah. And now the rocket scientist that is known as Arturis Karnišovas said, I think we need to make changes. Where the hell have you been for 3 years? Crazy.
If nothing else, you can and he didn't say, Karnišovas, he's so mad at the team because they need to make changes. He didn't do enough to really talk about the positive, and that is Coby White's development.
No question.
Because, I mean, it's Billy Donovan and that coaching staff empowering him to go to the basket. You're fast. Get there. Get fouled.
Yeah.
Make a difference.
100% agree.
So that there's no question that he is most improved player. From 0 to 100, he deserves it.
And this is not a shot at Tyrese Maxey, who is fantastic. Sure. It's just Tyrese Maxey was already good. If you're already good, I don't want to see you win Most Improved.
Carmen Yerk had a really good discussion about this yesterday. Tyrese Maxey's scoring increased by how much?
5 points.
Okay, but in terms of percentage, Carm laid out the percentage difference. It went up dramatically.
Look that up, boys.
Doesn't matter if you're already good. You don't have to be crappy to become Most Improved. If you go from 20 points to 25 points, yeah, you were already a 20-point scorer. That's still a significant amount of improvement. So I don't agree with you that Tyrese Maxey was already good, so he can't win it. I would give it to Coby because I think he has become a multifaceted talent.
Well, he went from 20 points to 25 points a game.
That's a significant jump, man.
Well, and he had more responsibility. He was a big role player on that team with Embiid out. He kept them kind of afloat. He's a fantastic player. But I feel like if you're already a 20-point scorer, I got to see the Luka jump if I'm going to give you Most Improved. You got to go from 20 to 30.
No, no, not Most Improved. Like, if you want to make a case for MVP, go ahead. You want to, I mean, for Tyrese Maxey. You want to say because he was the glue to hold this thing together. They're down 0-2 to Tibbs and the Knicks right now. But, no, that's Coby White's award. Tyrese Maxey, if you want to say a long shot or middle shot to be able to be an MVP, fine. But Maxey is Most Improved. That belongs to someone that came out of nowhere.
I mean, he went,
that's Coby.
Scoring went up 25% for Maxey. He's a really, really wonderful player.
Went up 105% for Coby White.
Yeah.
So just we'll saying, I'm just saying, like, more likely an MVP candidate than Most Improved Player for me. but because and he had to be. Embiid out there like an old man. Are you hurt? Are you reserving energy? It's very odd.
He hurt his knee in game one, right near the end. He did. So, and gutted through it. I give him credit.
Nick Nurse, supposed to be this smart coach. He isn't very good. He doesn't understand offense and defense, switch outs at the end of games. Embiid's not helping you defensively. He can score. He's just not helping you defensively. That was just weird what happened at the end of that game with the Sixers. But your buddy Tibbs, give him a text this morning. 2-0, kid.
Up to nothing, kid.
I'll talk to you at the end of the season.
Right. That's basically what he says when I text him.
Shay.
The heat is turning up on the south side, at least nationally. I logged on to the front page of ESPN.com during our first hour, and right there on the front page from Schoenfield was how the White Sox can lose 120 games.
Tune in.
There was a list of five statistics that were laid out in comparison to the 1962 Mets, who lost 120 games.
You said there's some Sox statistics?
Yeah, well, they're not very good.
Wait a minute now. I want to hear more about this. Let's hear. Now, I probably should write these down, Shay. If you've got some stats, then I need to write these down, because that sounds interesting to me.
You just
got to
flush them. I don't like our team.
I think right now I feel like I'm ready to go to and I'll just start breaking
out. You never know
how I feel about these
Stoney's ball clubs.
You just got to flush them.
Wow.
You just got to flush them.
All right. Through 22 games in comparison to the 1962 Mets, who lost 120 games in 1962. The Sox run differential is 34 runs worse than that team. They have scored 47 fewer runs than that Mets team through 22 games. The advanced metrics across the board, significantly worse. And all of that after a record-setting 8th shutout through 22 games last night. Basically, the only bright spot is the defense has been below average instead of terrible. Shot or no shot, the White Sox will lose 121 games and break this record.
Yes, shot. Shot. They're not going out making major acquisitions. This is a horrible, horrible team. Horrible. So awful that when you drive down the road and there's a terrible car wreck, everybody looks. This is going to get more attention than if they were just 67 and 95. Whatever, bad team. We're talking about, like, epic. Epic.
It is a shot that they can reach that futility. It's not turning around, Cap. What I told you before the season was not hyperbole. We saw the roster, and I said, Cap, where are your difference makers besides Robert and Moncada and Aloy at the time? I mean, Cease was already traded, and so they were trying to cobble together. In the history of my White Sox fandom, I can never remember an offseason in which the White Sox, right up to the time that you come north from spring training, are cobbling together a rotation. I've never seen that before.
Right.
I think we're going to go with Crochet. All right. Now, but what about the rest? Like, I've never seen that before. Hey, you and I have seen terrible rosters come north. Like, all right, this team is going to lose 90 games. This team's going to lose 85 games. It's just substandard. It's not good enough. Cap, I've never seen anything like this.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And this is under Kenny as well. This is under Ron Shuler. This is like, I've never seen anything like this. Because always the White Sox had some guy that was a star, and you bring him in as an attraction, and it would hold up the attendance or it would hold up interest in the team. We have a litany of those guys that were great on other teams, and they come over and help the White Sox. They don't have any of that this year. None of it.
It's truly embarrassing where we're at.
So that is a shot that they can be as bad as the 62 Mets, actually worse than the 62 Mets. Remember, the 62 Mets finished 40-120.
Oh, my God.
By the way, if Sox fans are out there trying to figure out a way to make something good out of the misery, if you, through today, if you had bet $100 against the White Sox in every game, you're up $1,300.
Wow.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Coming up around the NFL, Snorling's first round mock draft. That's coming up on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J Hood. You're officially locked in.
Throw your hands up in the sky.
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It is time to go around the NFL right here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. Reminding you that we're with you until 10 o'clock. Then Mike Greenberg comes in at 10. Carmen and Yurko, 12 to 3. Waddle and Sylvie, 2:30 to 6. Right into White Sox baseball to take on the Minnesota Twins. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norris. Shay?
I'm very excited, Hoodie.
Sox?
Draft week.
Oh.
Tomorrow, I will have three different Bears mock drafts. I have one where the Bears stand pat, one where they trade up, and one where they trade down. Today, I have the official stamp on it, snoring full first round mock draft.
I'm ready.
Are you excited?
I'm ready. I'm getting the yellow pad ready. Thank you for scratching. All right.
Let's go. I don't have any big surprises early. At number one, the Chicago Bears select quarterback out of USC, Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows. Number two, the Washington Commanders select quarterback out of LSU, Jaden Daniels, which also feels telegraphed.
Uh-huh.
Number three is where things get a little interesting.
Okay.
Because the news yesterday that Elliott Wolf is running point on potentially trading the third pick for the Patriots and Jonathan Kraft is in the room for final decision making.
Oh.
Ultimately, I think what this is Robert Kraft has his son in there as a proxy to say, if somebody offers you the moon and the stars, we can move this pick. If not, take Drake May. And at number three, the New England Patriots stay and select quarterback North Carolina, Drake May.
Okay, perfect.
Number four, listening to Adam Schefter this morning out on Sportsmanlike, it just sounds like the cost for a team to move up is going to be too high. We know the GM of the Cardinals, Ossenfurt, as Breer said, he doesn't just have a gun on you. Like, he's holding you at gunpoint in any offer.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling nobody's going to meet their ask, and they're just going to stay and select wide receiver out of Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Marvin Harrison. Okay.
Number five. I don't think the Chargers make this pick. I have a trade. Minnesota gets a little nervous, gets a little scared. They don't want the Giants getting J.J. McCarthy. So they move picks 11 and 23 to go up to number five, where they select quarterback out of Michigan, J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy, Chargers.
No, J.J. McCarthy, Vikings.
From the Chargers.
From the Chargers. The Chargers now have picks 11 and 23.
Okay.
The Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU.
Malik Nabers to the Giants. Did you hear that?
I heard Malik Nabers.
No premium quarterback.
He needs to get Nabers.
The ball is a guy, the head coach for the Giants. The ball. Okay. That's exactly right.
He needs him!
Needs a wide receiver of some distinction, okay? Nabers for the Bull, okay? Go ahead, number seven.
Number seven, no surprise, Titans select Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame.
Alt.
And number eight, people are starting to talk like the Falcons could select a quarterback. I don't think there's going to be a surprise here. The Falcons take edge rusher out of Alabama, Dallas Turner. And number nine, the Chicago Bears pick up the phone. Somebody's getting a little desperate. Cincinnati wants another weapon for Joe Burrow. Cincinnati offers 18, their second round pick, and a 2025 fourth round pick to move up and select Brock Bowers.
Bowers. And you say who's doing this? Atlanta?
Cincinnati moves up, trades with Chicago, and Cincinnati gets Bowers at 9. Bears get 18, Cincinnati second, and a future fourth next season.
Yeah, it would suck. I don't want to go back to 18.
Oh, hold on just a moment. Because at number 10, the New York Jets do a New York Jets thing. It's like J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama.
Okay.
Who's gotten all kinds of steam. Apparently, he's the second best tackle in this draft. I don't know if I agree.
Yeah, the Bears really like him.
Okay. You're doing it for Willie Joe, okay, because he's an Alabama guy from Alabama. He's from Alabama, okay. And you get J.C. Latham. Does nothing for the Jets. Same old Jets. Once you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way. Okay. So there it is. J.C. Latham at 10.
All right, number 11.
11 is the Chargers picking in place of Minnesota.
Yep.
They get their wide receiver in Rome Odunze.
Wow. Hey. How about that? Odunze to 11. Pretty good, kid.
Pretty good,
right,
kid.
12?
At 12, the Broncos panic. The absolute panic breaks out on the podium. The war room's going nuts. They don't want to make the pick here, but nobody's interested in moving up for 12. They know the Broncos need a quarterback. The Broncos can't afford to let the Raiders, picking right behind them, take a quarterback in the same division. So they panic select Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon, number 12.
Wow. They get Nix at 12. Who starts?
Zach Wilson or Bo Nix?
Well, who else do they have?
Zach Wilson.
Just laid it out. Yeah, that's it.
They don't have anyone else on the roster.
Oh, I mean, if you had the druthers of those two, though, Cap.
Jarrett Stidham would be the other.
Stidham.
He'll be the starter.
Oh, God. Does he want to keep the job or not?
They're not paying him off. They owe him like $80 million more. He's going nowhere.
Stidham, Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci. You know what that DiNucci thing is with Dallas? Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, set this quarterbacks back about 40 years with that. So Bo Nix, 12, the panic by the Broncos. They need a quarterback. All right, 13.
The very angry Las Vegas Raiders, who now can't get Bo Nix, decide let's shore up our offensive line. They select Talise Fuaga out of Oregon State.
Fuaga.
The tackle.
Okay.
New Orleans. Laiatu Latu out of UCLA, edge rusher.
Laiatu Leatu.
The Indianapolis Colts at 15 in need of a cornerback. Get Quinyon Mitchell, kid out of Toledo. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know nobody has ever watched him, maybe ever even heard of him.
Nope.
This kid's awesome.
All right.
I actually think there is a chance that a team in the division could trade up there, the Detroit Lions, and try to get Quinyon Mitchell, but seems unlikely, so I didn't mock it through.
So, Ronnie, tell me a little bit about Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
I don't know who he is, Pat.
Did we ever see him before? Quinyon Mitchell. That's deep, deep on the ESPN Plus roster on Saturday. So deep, so deep. Sorry. 16.
16, the Seahawks select Washington tackle, hometown kid, Troy Fatanu.
Troy Fatanu. Okay, 17.
17 is the Jacksonville Jaguars who stay put. They need a corner. They need a defensive back. They get Terrion Arnold, the corner out of Alabama.
18.
18 is your Chicago Bears,
yes,
where they get the guy they might have wanted at 9. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
So, yeah, Cap.
I hate it. Shaves draft. Hate.
Okay. So, remember, getting out of 9 and getting to 18. At 9 would be the tight end from Georgia, Brock Bowers, going to Cincinnati, and the Bears get Murphy at 18.
Yeah, I don't like Shay's draft.
To be honest, Cap, this is a mix of what I would do and what I think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like Byron Murphy's going to be the guy if they go defense. As much as I would like Jared Verse, I feel like it's going to be Byron Murphy.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem getting a really good defensive player. That said, I made my point the other day that if I can move up and the price is next year's number one pick and the 9, obviously, and I'm getting Marvin Harrison, if that's the highest rated receiver on his board,
mm-hmm,
that's a no freaking brainer.
So I understand.
You win with superstars in this league.
But what about
superstars?
What about, well, there's no question about that. What about the trade that Shea laid out there for you for the Bears to be at 18? Yeah, it's getting out of 9, going to 18, second round pick, and what was the other?
You get a fourth round pick in 2025.
Big freaking deal. No, I don't. I'm not moving for that. I'm not going all the way to 18.
Let me give you some players that are still on the board here as well. You've got Olufoshanu. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, a lot of people like. Juzon Newton, another interior player from Illinois. Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State. There's good players at 18. I know you're really hesitant, but
saying that there aren't, I prefer to go up and get a superstar.
What's it going to cost you?
I'm not doing
it. I don't think it's going to cost that. I'm not doing it for that.
You don't think it would cost next year's one to go from 9 to 3 to get Harrison in front of Arizona?
Who said anything about going to 3?
Me.
three.
I'm going to three to get Harrison.
Why wouldn't you go to four?
Damn.
Well, oh, if they're going to trade me four, but it's still going to be a fortune.
Yeah, well, Cap, it'll be a run on quarterbacks 1, 2, 3 at the very least. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, as we talked about, first time ever, right?
Maybe.
Possibly. But you are going up. Yeah, it could be as high as 4 or 5.
I just need to know who's the highest rated receiver on Poles' board. I know for a fact that they love Malik Nabers.
Because what you're ultimately saying is that if you are getting, if you go up and get Marvin Harrison, then you are, first of all, believing they're going to be in the playoffs. And secondly, they just will need a little seasoning. Like, you won't miss that first round pick, to, in your view, right?
Not that I won't miss it. In my view, and all the research backs this up, 50% of first round picks do not get to the second contract. Mm-hmm. 50%.
Even worse percentage with the Bears, right?
Correct. And if I indeed am as good as I think I'm going to be, I'm not telling you they're winning the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to be a 10-win football team for sure. I'm picking in the 20s. I'm not going to give up a pick in the 20s so I can get what everyone is saying is a generational player, and Kuiper and others have him the number one player in the entire draft. Waddle watched him, who I respect Tommy's knowledge of receivers more than anybody. He said, that guy's the best player I saw in college football. So I can have that guy on my team on a 5-year rookie deal, and, oh, heaven forbid, the 23rd pick in the first round next year I had to give up. F that. That's stupid.
Jay Moore.
Do you guys have a list of receivers that visited the Bears for their top 30?
Nabers, Adunze, Xavier Worthy, and Marvin Harrison that I know of.
It's a nice list.
It is.
Well, it's the best. That's on the board right now.
Correct.
At the wide receiver spot.
Correct.
Those four.
Correct.
So you just heard that. We'll post that, Shay, the first of the mock drafts. This is just 1.0. 2.0 is tomorrow.
Mock draft 1.0. Well, tomorrow's going to be mock draft 2.0 and 3.0 and 4.0 with my Bears stamp hat, Bears trade up, and Bears trade down. Mock draft.
All right. That'll be in this time slot in the at 8:15, 8:17 right here on ESPN 1000. Albert Breer is going to be with us coming up in an hour from now, by the way. He had to move again. A lot of stuff happened in Detroit, so we'll hear from Albert coming up at 9:35. Some thoughts from Caleb Williams, the new Bears quarterback to be, coming up on Thursday. You'll hear from Caleb. And if you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap'n Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
The Cap'n Jay Hood Show brought to you by the Village of Bolingbrook. Elevate your business at bbolingbrook.com. White Sox shut out for the 8th time in 22 games this season. That's an all-time MLB record for futility. Falling 7-0 to the Twins in the series opener, Jonathan Cannon was pounded. Gave up 6 runs on 9 hits over just 3 2/3 innings pitch. Sox, as I said, 3-19. Play game 2 of the series tonight at 6:40 on ESPN 1000. Cubs open a home series with the Astros tonight after a day off yesterday. First pitch, Wrigley at 6:40. Bears reportedly set to announce plans for a lakefront stadium in a press conference tomorrow. They will commit $2 billion to the construction, according to sources, while seeking public funding as well. And Coby White named a finalist for the Most Improved Player Award. DeMar DeRozan a finalist for Most Clutch Performer this year in the NBA. Jay Moore.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap'n Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube as well. YouTube.com. Look for the Cap'n Jay Hood channel on YouTube. So hit that subscribe button, Cap. I think you need to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Oh, I already am, baby. Yep.
Is there a baby in here?
Yeah.
Apparently, Telly Savalas has walked in the studio.
That is that.
YouTube.com as well for ESPN Chicago. Make sure you watch us live on YouTube. And then we have all these other shorts and features on there as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of great content. It's a lot of fun. You can sign up for each of your favorite shows. And then we'll be broadcasting. I will be from Soldier Field Thursday night in advance of the draft. And then throughout the first round, all the way up to, I think, 9:30, Danny told me, at the ticket. What is it called, Jay Moore? The Ticketmaster. The Ticketmaster area. I can't remember what it's called.
Ticketmaster Plaza, I believe.
Plaza. That's the word. Ticketmaster Plaza inside Gate O. And I had Brisker with me last year, Jaquan Brisker. I had Kyler Gordon and a bunch of other celebrities. So looking forward to that as the picks unfold.
That's exactly right. So don't forget to meet Cap right there at the Ticketron box office.
Ticketmaster.
So you can be able to check out Cap right there at the Ticketron. He'll be right there. So you can get yourself some Bears tickets and be able to catch Cap at the Ticketron.
Ticketmaster.
Wait a minute. You didn't even know what it was.
Well, now I know. It's the Ticketmaster Plaza inside Gate O. And by the way, it'll be on the Cap and J Hood YouTube page, so you can watch all these interviews.
That's exactly right. And don't forget, folks, you can also get your Bears tickets at your local Sears and Sears Roebuck as well.
Montgomery Wards.
You can also right there. In the back, by the way.
Yeah.
In the back.
Yeah.
By the Husky Close. 312-332-37.
There's a word that is no longer in use unless you own a Siberian Husky like I do. But they don't sell Husky clothes anymore.
Well, they do. It just calls something different. Now it's big and
big
tall.
And tall.
I wish they would have said that when I was a child. But no, Cap. Husky section.
Right.
Like the dog.
Correct.
Or the team.
That's correct. That is correct.
Hey, Caleb Williams, I got a chance to talk to the guys over at The Pivot. And so if you have not seen this, it is worth your while to try to find out more about Caleb Williams. You know, for me, the bottom line is what he does on the playing surface. But you get a chance to know some of the personality. There's a number of things that stood out about that Pivot interview, including this from the soon-to-be quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Love L.A. L.A. was great. Now that I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12, I want a place that loves ball.
You're
you know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far, which is exciting for me because L.A. was great, but there is probably double digits of teams here. And so, I mean, it's a big pool of, you know, so you have to be winning championships. You have to be playoffs every year to have, you know, the fans and things like that show up. And so one thing, you know, if it was Chicago was a place that I've heard that they love ball, which is really exciting for me and something that I'm looking forward to and embracing. Like I said, the fans and community, because it's something that is huge for, I mean, you go to COVID year. I mean, the impact that they have. When they're there and not there is huge. And so, you know, having them there is going to be huge, making those home games, real home games and really away games and tough games for, you know, other crowds and other teams and things like that. So, yeah, really excited that's the place and you know, that's the city to, you know, light up and bring back and revive and make game days and everything really, really fun and enjoyable.
Caleb Williams on The Pivot.
Yeah, I loved that whole interview. I mean, there was just some awesome, awesome insight from him, the type of guy he is and what moves him. And I said to you yesterday, it was funny. Fred Taylor's like, what is the Lego thing? He's like, Caleb said, yeah, my girlfriend and some other friends come over and we build Legos. Like, super ornate, like really involved Lego stuff. And Fred Taylor's like, I need to take you out and show you a few things out on
a Lego
town.
Party.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, no Lego party. Don't invite me any Lego parties. And what did Brian Clark go? No, you do not need to do that.
No, you don't. Shows you the kid in him, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still a young man, still doing those things.
Correct.
And for those, we got these diehard Bears fans that's been seeing everything. You know, they've seen all the games. They went to Soldier Field and, you know, in the early 70s. They've seen it all. And they hear this driving around, or they hear this in their front room, and are saying, this kid plays with Legos? Let me tell you something. I want my quarterback to throw touchdowns, not Legos.
Correct.
Just watch what happens. you chase greatness, you become a perennial player, and at that those corner taverns, all of a sudden, hey, it's Lego night, along with the beer and the shot in the beard they're going to have.
Yeah.
Hey, these big gnarled fingers, these big guys behind the bar in the same seats they've been in since 1985. Hey, look what I bought, a whole box of Legos.
Right.
I'm going to build something
with a
Caleb.
Chasing greatness shirt on.
Yeah, look at me.
And
look
painted nails.
Look
painted
at
painted nails.
Look at this. I built a bell. How about that? Just like Caleb.
Stop.
Wow.
He's a kid.
And then you got Shay Karnashovas in there. Settler. He's a settler.
What are you talking about? Can you stop?
We have to trade, but no, I won't.
But it's ridiculous. It doesn't even make sense. Settling is, like, this is one of the most measured takes that I think I've ever had about I don't want to trade next year's first round pick for a receiver when I think I can still get an all-pro caliber receiver at 9 without giving up next year's draft capital. That's not first take, Shay. That's not settler. That's not Bulls front office. You know what the Bulls front office would do? They'd sit at 9 and they'd take a tackle. They'd take the second. They'd take J.C. Latham. That's what the Bulls front office would do. We're good at receiver. We're good on the defensive front. We're going to take some bum out of Alabama. That's what they would do. They would not, this whole thing, I'm a settler because I don't want to trade next year's first. Are you out of your mind?
You don't chase greatness.
I think you can chase greatness at 9.
Yeah, 15 seconds ago, a little more than that, 3 minutes ago, you had us at 18. That's a settler. That's what a settler does.
A settler is get more picks in the draft? I don't understand
I don't
where the settler thing
round
comes
pick
from.
Next year. I don't.
Yeah, but I care about a second round pick this year.
I'd rather get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. Thank you. You win with superstars. I want a superstar. Thank you.
Who are you thanking?
Myself.
Oh, of course.
I just, like, I'm one of, like, six or seven people that has a microphone during the day parts that doesn't want to give up a first-round pick to move up for a wide receiver. Are we all Arturis Karnashovas? I don't understand how that's a Karnashovas thing to do.
That's you.
We have to make changes to fix things.
Thank you. Jay Moore.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Do you think I'm chasing greatness?
Yes, every day.
I don't mean the show in my career. I'm talking about the Bears.
I haven't really... I don't think you've locked in exactly what you would do. I don't think you're anti-chasing greatness. I do not. I just think that dude is.
What is my stance on the Bears, Cap? I'd like to hear this.
You want Caleb desperately.
Yes.
100%. And I think you're comfortable in a number of avenues at 9 or trade back. I think you would trade back. I don't think you'd go as far back as first take Shay.
18.
But
yeah.
That's too far back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going back to 18. I'm not. Sorry.
My stance on the Bears is I'm really impressed with what they did here in the offseason. With this draft pick, obviously Caleb Williams is the best quarterback because I believe in top-shelf talent.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I sell it for less? So that at 1. At 9, if you get what you want to fill in the bill on this depth chart, go ahead. If you want to get – I like for them to have multiple picks more than 4, but if they can't, get what you can get at 9.
If Arturis Norling in there was doing this show a year ago in Houston – he would never have traded up to get Will Anderson. Never.
What are you talking about?
Damn.
I thought that was a great move when they did it.
Yeah, because it was them. If it was us trading future draft capital, I don't need to do that. I could get a star at 18.
But there wasn't a pass rusher anywhere close to the caliber of Will Anderson where Houston was picking.
That's
and
true.
They weren't moving up as far. And they had a bevy of extra picks that the Bears don't have. What is the point? Hey, this is not an Arturis Karnashovas thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but the AK deal, painting that on me, because, look, if you can get Arizona to move for a second-round pick and a third-round pick next year, I'd staple a sixth and a seventh. I'd give them 4. I just don't want to give up the first.
They gave up the first to Arizona.
Houston? Yeah, but they had extra picks. That's my point.
All I know
is they got their quarter, like,
they got a star.
We
they
got 4 picks in this draft, man. We want to get rid of future ones?
I don't care. I want superstars. I don't care. You're wedded to, oh my God, I got to get a fourth and a third, and I want freaking superstars.
No, my point is I don't think the gap between the two players and like Roma Dunze or Neighbors if he's there and Marvin Harrison Jr. is big enough of a gap to warrant giving up a first round pick to move up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. I love the player. I'd be excited if they did it. I'm not going to yell and scream if they do.
He's Cap, like a meteorologist.
It's just not what so I
ready
do.
With a chance to suck.
Hang on, Cap. Hold that thought. Because we're going to hear from Albert Breer coming up at 9:35. Hold that thought.
Agreed. We're late.
Yep. Hold that thought.
We'll be right back.
Hold on. We got to take a break.
We'll be right
More
back.
More of your calls right around the corner on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Well done.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and J-Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Also on YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go Sports Bar. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We say hello to Derek and Woodridge, who's been patient on ESPN 1000 on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
What's up, Cookie?
Not much. Love you guys. Love the show. Danny's the best. Everybody on the programming's the best. The guys, the gals, all that stuff.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say Caleb, number one for me. I'm wearing the draft hat today, right now. But the reason for my call, and I like Carney, by the way, too, Jay Hood. That's easier to spell.
Yes. Yes.
But
Art Carney.
But yeah. But the reason for my call is going back to when we were bidding for the Olympics. Like, I don't understand, like, what's changed between back then and now with, like, all these renderings and all this stuff, because infrastructure would have had to have been built and stuff at that point in time, right? And I don't know who funds that, if it's the IOC or whatever, but, it's really not that big a deal. You choose one or the other, but you know, I mean, but it's going to stay. A lot of these stadiums that the countries that host the Olympics, they don't even use them after the Olympics are gone.
That's true. So, that's usually barren, and the city or country is bankrupt.
Actually, that the University of Illinois at Chicago, better known as UIC.
Go Flames!
Go Flames. They would have been the beneficiary of some major infrastructure upgrades on the campus had the Olympics come here.
Yep.
The pavilion was coming down and a new stadium going up in its place. The swimming center would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. There were so many different things. Dorms that were going to be built. It would have been just a revelation for that campus. Revitalizing that whole West Side area. Mm-hmm. Everything I've heard, and we'll maybe know more tomorrow, is that to do what they want to do with the new Soldier Field down here, they're going to have to reroute Lakeshore Drive and right. go down and underneath and come back around. Do you know how many billions of dollars that's going to cost?
Yeah, ton.
And how long that's going to take? We'll see. They unveil their stadium plans tomorrow.
So we'll find out more tomorrow, but we'll talk about it here in our next half hour. And also your thoughts about the Bears and the draft. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Who will the Bears take at 9? We were talking about it. And discuss more with the Bears in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.